This is exactly right.
What does motion sound like? With Kizikans free shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Barbara Gray, and I don't own enough floppy hats and sunglasses to be anybody's Instagram girlfriend.
Aww.
Unfortunately.
I'm Brandy Posey, and 92% of abs are a waste of abs.
I'm Tess Barker, and fuck Chris Brown for pretty much everything, including making that one good song.
Ugh.
My name is Ekaterina Petrovna Zamlochkova, but you can call me Katya. I'm a Russian woman, activist, actress, and mother.
And this is Lady to
Lady. And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a cigarette? Neither can we.
We got a show for everyone that's the fucking best. Come on, baby, it's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Ladies and ladies, ladies and ladies.
Oh my god, lady, this is gonna be the quickest intro of all time.
Yeah,
so we have to get to it.
Oh gosh.
What are we doing? We're going, oh god, when
we're
are we
gonna be in Chicago November 19th?
Yeah, we got our date.
We're playing the Athenaeum Theater at 7 p.m. For 45 minutes before Bullseye. So if you're in Chicago, come to see us.
Come see us. The tickets will be up soon. Check
yeah.
out Twitter.
I'm
and
so
stuff.
Excited. That's going to be a great night. Perfect
Fuck yeah.
spot. Stick around for Bullseye after, fellow.
We're already working on a meet and greet to get Tess a bunch of Malort.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I have to get initiated into Chicago. I'm popping my Chicago cherry.
Yeah.
And that will be right when I end my celibacy also. So uh-huh. I'll fuck people. We'll talk about
sure
that.
Sure, I
wasn't aware that was the thing that
oh,
was
yeah,
happening.
Oh, yeah, that's happening.
Barbara, just stop it.
Unquote.
Stop with the celibacies and the stuff.
I'm still drinking. I'm still drinking,
okay,
but I'm being celibate.
Okay.
It's a good thing. Okay. Anyway, wait. Also, if you leave, we're doing this thing. We're giving away t-shirts.
Yes.
Leave a review of us on iTunes, and we're going to mm-hmm. pick some of our favorites and send you some free
yeah.
stuff.
For the next 4 weeks, we're going to pick our favorite one every week, and you're going to get a t-shirt.
And some other stuff.
We'll send you a koozie and some pins. And
yeah, because we're clearing out these shirts because we're going to make some new ones and have them at the podcast festival yeah. in November. Yay. Also, this is Barbara Gray. I'll be in San Francisco headlining the Punchline on September 20th this month and headlining the Harmony Club on the 22nd and then the Crow's Nest in Santa Cruz on the 25th.
This is Brandy Posey. Why are we doing it this way? I have physical copies of my album available at my website, brandyposey.com, and I'm also throwing in a bunch of stickers and pins and stuff if you want to buy those right now. They are on sale. BRANDIEPOSEY.
BRANDIE. That's the way we
like to party. Sound off.
One, two.
All right, let's do our guests.
Yay!
If you guys can't tell, we're really excited to have our guest on. It's Brian McCook, aka
yeah.
fucking Katya from Drag Race.
Oh, thank you so much for the cheering.
Yeah.
This is so weird. I feel like, well, first of all, can you hear me mouth breathe? Probably not.
No, okay. I don't think so. David, mouth breathing?
This is so cool. But I love voices.
Yeah.
And you don't have to smell or look, like, I don't have to look a certain
yeah,
way or
you don't
smell
have
a certain
to...
way. I can just be here and that's okay.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. So you smell great, I think.
That's yeah.
fine, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. There's no way for them to know. They just have to trust you.
Right, yeah. right. Yeah. yeah, that we like that too, because, man, we look like shit sometimes when we do
this. Yeah, I woke up this morning and I was like, I hope he knows he doesn't need to be in full makeup.
Oh, no, I thought of that. And I was like, there's no way.
No.
There's no way. They have to pay me thousands of dollars. And, you know, this is so much better.
Yeah.
It's right? so good. And, like, I never, you know, that was the first time people, someone had introduced me as Brian McCook, and it feels nice because that's
yeah.
what I am right now.
Yeah.
And sometimes I forget
Exactly.
That.
How often
you're
are
Brian,
you
You're Brian. You're Brian.
But I like playing with names. Like if I meet people like at a gig who aren't familiar with Drag Race, I'll just introduce myself as Barbara. That's one of my go-tos. Barbara, Cheryl, Vicky, Maureen, like all these names of like women who could work at a bank.
Yeah.
So yeah, because I worked at a bank with these women.
Are you serious?
Yeah, for a short time and it was terrible, but yeah. Yeah.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
I just got new headshots done and I have like an auburn wig that makes me look normal. And her name is Brenda when I wear it.
Brenda, that's another that's one.
A Brenda's
one.
A very good
stay
bank
tuned
teller.
To All Stars because that's my like my my mantra, like shut up, Brenda, shut the fuck up. That would be like my inner voice, you know, that was like telling me, you're not good. You're pretty bad. Like you should go home, you know, whatever
that. Oh my god, we should name her Brenda. We should name that person.
Like it's gonna be for you though. It's like, what's your like special bad voice, you know?
Oh my god, mine I already got it, it just came right to me. It's Cheryl.
That's good. Yeah. Well, Cheryl's the dead raccoon I wear in my head. And
I love you.
You know, like, and she, if you do stuff like that, if you have these like talismans in drag, the fans like will like fixate on those and like make a fan page and just forget about you.
Oh,
you
know what I mean? It's that's like Ornatio.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, yeah. Exactly. When the sort of character, the inanimate object eclipses the star power of the actual person, that's when you know you've made it. You know? It's so weird.
I think, I can't wait to know I've made it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's a dirty dish towel.
Yeah, you got to get a nice thing, though. It's got to be kind of like, but you can't sell it. It's a whole, it's a long thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's such a, that seems like such a drag specific issue.
Yeah. There are a lot of drag specific issues. Yeah. I use Dawn dishwashing liquid to take my makeup off.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. Wow. It cuts the grease and it's soft on my skin.
But it doesn't hurt your, I mean, I guess you don't get it in your head.
No, I just like, you know, you can't put it in your eyeballs.
Okay. Yeah.
You have to like be careful with the, like right when you dig around the eyeball.
Yeah.
Like oil is only good
coconut
for
oil, though, yeah. Right?
Do you do coconut oil?
That would be good. Like that's Courtney, who's like the naturopath, like the drag world. She lives in LA and she does coconut oil in her like her supplement bag is bigger than her actual like clothing
really
allowance. Yeah, she's like real cool, but she's a wacky.
Do supplements do shit? That's does so anyone funny. Know? I don't.
It's
think
placebo
do
for
anything.
Sure. I think supplements and crystals. It's like, hey, if it does something for you.
Yeah, but I think also you can't underestimate the placebo value of it.
Although, that's what I mean.
Although, when people try to take advantage of that. On the part of the consumer, that's when it's just become shifty.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, you're only selling snake oil, then that's bad.
All that Herbalife and shit like that.
Herbalife is bullshit, but
it's
like
a scam.
Something like, you know, every once in a while we'll go off on these things where we're on apple cider vinegar or what have you, right?
Yeah.
And look, you know, if you feel like it's making you think more clearly, then you're thinking more clearly. Yeah. Who cares?
Yeah.
It's not hurting you probably.
Yeah. And if it can do also have some kind of physical thing beyond the mind, then that's great too.
Sure.
Yeah. But hopefully it does. Otherwise.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, we cross our fingers and hope for the best.
Yeah.
That's all we can do. Right?
Yes, that's all we can do before we die.
So you have computers out. What does that mean?
We just have our show notes.
Yeah.
We
usually have our iPads or whatever.
So this is the modern version of a legal pad.
Yeah,
basically.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Computers are the modern version of legal.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just thought out from 92. I just don't know much. Was that Encino
Man?
What year did he come back into?
I think it was 92.
Probably 92.
Because I was that time.
Yeah.
So you replaced him. You went in back into the ice cave then.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
Encino Man feels like a Bill Clinton presidency movie.
Yeah.
It kind of falls into that.
Right. What a great movie.
Oh my God,
movie.
I had the biggest hard on for Pauly Shore.
I was like, which one are you going to say? I was just waiting.
Oh, because Pauly Shore and Brendan Fraser was
But not Sean.
That's so funny, wait, you guys. I was in my head. I was like, it was so clearly Pauly Shore that was hot in that movie that it didn't even cross.
Brendan Fraser.
Wait, isn't it, who's the guy? Sean Astin? No.
Yeah, Sean Astin.
Is the normal one.
The normal one. Brendan Fraser's the caveman.
The caveman. Yeah. And Pauly's like the BFF, the stoner.
He's the weasel.
Yeah.
He's that guy.
Gotcha.
I have Brendan Fraser painted on the side of my car.
The name itself or the man?
Like
the
a picture
man.
Of him.
Oh, wow.
It's pretty amazing. How he's breathing fire.
What? On your car?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
It's pretty sweet.
You're a lunatic then.
Yeah. The other side has Abe Lincoln fighting a T-Rex in space.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're a total lunatic.
That's amazing. Brendan Fraser was my safe word in college with my friends. Like, whenever
Does he seem like a safe man?
Yeah, he seems so
safe.
He
would never rape you.
No. Never.
Not.
No. Never.
Yeah. If he rapes somebody, forget it.
Then there's
forget it. No hope for any
leave.
Man.
We all have to leave.
Yeah, it's awful.
In college, what we would do, like, if we were stuck at a party and we didn't want to be there, one of us would bring up Brendan Fraser. And we would change the conversation to Brendan Fraser, and then it was time to go. And if a guy
Right. That's a really good idea. I need something like this.
I had something like that with my friends, but it was just we would get really stoned and then obnoxiously clear the room by laughing too hard.
People hate the sound of a woman's laugh.
Oh, I kind of, I'm kind of into that, though. Instead of you leaving, make everyone else leave. Mm-hmm. I kind of like that idea.
Things get gross all of a sudden. How do you get people out of the room?
Well, plan B of the Brendan Fraser thing is if a guy won't leave you alone, you say, I'm sorry, you cannot speak to me until you name 10 Brendan Fraser movies in 60 seconds, go. And then they have to sit there and
rack
their brain.
I definitely can't do that.
I can't either, but what's to stop him from just, you know, just being more obnoxious even though he can't do it?
Then you walk away because you're like, you're a loser. You're a loser, and I prove that you were a loser.
Wouldn't it be great if you could just throw up on someone?
God, I wish.
Yeah.
Like projectile or not.
But what if it was like that thing that they, this is bringing up a child actor memory.
Can't wait.
So when I was a kid, I screen tested for that movie Parenthood with Steve Martin. Mm-hmm. And remember the scene where they're driving home and the kid throws up? Mm-hmm. I screen tested for that part.
God,
and
so
I got to try out the thing where it was like the fake, because that was pretty much the whole part. Was just
wait, they had fake throat? What do you mean? What did you do?
Was it up your arm?
Yeah, it was a thing that was up my arm.
Oh, the tube,
and then they fed it through. They blended it in with makeup and you didn't see it. So that when the camera was here, I just went like that. And it was a trigger thing that I pulled with my hand.
That is so cool.
And the screen test.
Can you imagine going to every party with that?
Yes, right? I can. Yes, I can. And definitely never leaving the house without that apparatus like firmly installed. Yeah.
That's never your again. Thing. That becomes the thing that everyone wants to buy. Or what is it called? The ornation.
But then when every party starts to be filled with vomit, like we have to reevaluate our social skills and like choices.
Yeah.
You know, like, what if you put something else in it though? If you just put glitter in it, you could just
that's
vomit.
Even worse than vomit though.
It is true.
Glitter,
you really can't get that out of anything.
And for a guy who's being a creep, that's even perfect because he'll always look like a fag. You know what I mean? Like, that's like the ultimate thing.
You can tell he's been marked.
Yes,
like, he's a creep.
Yes, and it's marked with glitter, which is so great because it doesn't even smell, but it looks like in
we
the sunlight.
We have to start marking them with glitter. We have to come together and decide the color.
Yeah.
And just get
sparkles. Oh my God,
that'd be a really good superpower for a woman rather than a killer pussy in fucking American Horror Story that never went anywhere.
Oh,
but like,
bullshit.
But you know, if you could just vomit glitter on like bad men, but have to get in their eyes and blind them too.
That's true.
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Thank you. At least for a little bit.
This is honestly perfect.
Temporary, oh my God.
No pain though, which would be confusing.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Mm-hmm. That's true. Oh.
Instead of mace.
You just need a glitter bomb.
It's a glitter bomb. Exactly. Oh, the activists do that to like gay activists have done that. Or
yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. What a fun. I mean, it's just fun.
It's fun and annoying though, because the glitter takes months to come out of everywhere. You know what I mean? How it's going to be, they're going to find it.
Yeah. How have we not developed a better glitter?
No,
there is not.
I think it's just perfect.
There's good glitter out there though.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, for like cosmetic use, because it's in your eyes. It's
you
dangerous.
Mean like highlighter shit or like
just like stuff you can. Like there's like craft glitter and then cosmetic glitter, because you don't want to put, you know, craft glitter in your eyeballs.
Right.
Yeah.
But even like, I don't know, I feel like even when I use like cosmetic glitter, it can stick in there for a while.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. Like it's really hard
you're
to
saying, even you're saying oil. They haven't come up with easier to get rid of glitter.
Yeah.
You're not saying better glitter.
Yeah. I think you know what, this is kind of great about glitter.
Glitter's just more permanent.
Yeah. Tiny shiny pieces everywhere.
Did you guys ever see glitter with Mariah Carey?
It was bad.
I heard it was horrible.
But it was bad, but not in Showgirls bad. Like, it was so bad, it was just good. It was
Showgirls and it is, like, entertaining start to finish. No question.
Blast.
One of the best movies ever
every
made.
Every
perfect movie.
Paul Verhoeven, though. Gore and Sleaze.
Yes.
Yeah, I just watched
Total
Recall. Total
Recall is one of my favorite movies
Gore
ever.
Gore and Sleaze. Yeah. Like, he loves Gore and Sleaze. But he just did it. I haven't seen it, but it's a great... Isabelle Huppert was just like a crazy good French actress, was just in his latest movie. Mm-hmm. And it's about apparently a woman who is sexually assaulted, and her attitude about it is like flippant. And she's just like kind of a monster.
Whoa.
And I don't know. I haven't seen it yet, so I'm dying.
I haven't seen anything he's made for a long. Like those are like the ones I always see
over and
over.
I didn't know that was the same director that did Total Recall and Showgirls.
Did he write Showgirls? I think he did, or I'm not sure. Because I saw they used to do a live performance of it at UCB where they would read the script, because the script's apparently fucking insane.
It is incredible.
Yeah.
I used to love Doggy Chow. Like eating dog food. It was so bizarre. So weird.
Oh, yeah. Okay, it's a different writer. But I guess the script would say, so usually scripts say like INTEXT for like interior, exterior.
Yeah.
The script said internal, external for every, like even the stage directions made no fucking sense.
That's adorable.
It was total insanity. And
yeah, like what was the action like? Was it written like really crazy?
Yeah, the crazy, you know, the sex scene where she's in the waterfall.
Yeah, it was just flailing.
Yeah,
one of my favorite things of all time.
Oh god, they read it in the script and it was so amazing.
What are the stage directions?
I can't remember. I can't remember. Maybe we can find it because it's like, fucking nuts.
You know what I love about that scene is my favorite other Elizabeth Berkley movie, and I think we're all on the same page here, mm-hmm. is the I'm So Excited Freak Out on Saved by the Bell.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
And there's a real parallel. I think we saw the sex scene coming
from that moment.
From that moment. That,
Yeah, that was the foreplay. You can
the
just connect.
The foreshadowing.
Like it was, just connect
She was so excited and so scared of where her career was about to go.
Luckily, she was about to get the best call of her life.
I mean, I love that scene in Showgirls just because it's like so nice to see. I'm like, oh, okay, so it's not weird that I look like that when I come, right?
in the pool every time.
Every time.
Pool sex leads to that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We can't do this until we go.
Can I ask a question about suction and pools and the possibility of vaginal insertion of a penis? Is that even
possible?
Oh, you
can totally
do it, but it's not necessarily. Yeah, it's like kind of weird because, you know, water's not like lube, so it doesn't.
Well, of course not. Yeah, it's like anti-lube.
It's just, Yeah. But you can do it.
Oh, yeah, I've absolutely had sex underwater.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay. Underwater? Yeah, yeah. I don't know if underwater. I was half out of water.
Oh,
yeah,
I've
in like a three tub. In like a 3 foot pool. Yeah, not like the deep end. You're not fucking
I have pretty good. And the thing is, the edge of the pool gives you really good leverage, so it is like, it's not a
horrible. Oh, yeah, and you can really like the control you have over your body and its lightness.
Yeah, that's the most fun.
That's the pro.
You know, I mean, there's probably some really cool stuff you could do in a pool, really.
Also,
I mean,
your tits
handstands.
Yes. That's the best part.
Your body looks amazing.
Yeah, and it probably feels amazing, too, which makes it,
Yeah, and what's really, if you have a bar you can grab onto, that's fantastic.
Yeah. Slide to slide down.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. You slide down onto the.
Yeah. I'm just waiting. Yeah. But but it never is.
It's
like it never is in real life. There's a lot of fumbling.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. No, I know. I always like think I feel for people with penises because I'm like that's a lot. It must be hard to like figure out.
I mean, yeah, you're just trying to jam something into a hole without hurting it.
Yeah. But you want to do it like, you know, it's like kind of like seamlessly as possible.
But it's just often not seamless. And I wish they would like make a really, really good porno, but there was a scene that was like 2.5 minutes of like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
You know, like it was like, but it went on for like ever and ever. And it'd just be really funny.
Yeah.
And then they get it in and it's just, you know, and then they go for it. But like, I watched way too much porn before I had sex. So that was like a weird thing.
Oh, that's like, it. Actually, our lady problem is kind of about that.
Oh, yeah, it's about porn. So we'll talk about that later. But yeah.
Exactly.
That's Buddy the dog. Agreeing.
So wait,
you see Pamela Anderson just came out? Okay, I guess we can talk about it later. She came out like talking about the dangers of porn.
With under the tutelage of some like Rabbi Shmuley or somebody. It was like there was a rabbi in New York.
Oh, I didn't hear about that.
Or not in New York. But yeah, it was like in concert with
interesting.
It was a rabbi or like a Siddic teacher. I forget. I don't remember who. But yeah, I just read that on
Wait, what did she say?
I didn't read it. I saw
they're very anti-porn. They think it's the language of it is really interesting. They're like it's terrifying, and the words they use are very like strong and almost
hyperbolic.
Yeah. But
or it's like you can tell.
I think
it's
there's a story there. Yeah, porn definitely affects us, but it's not going anywhere.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I actually think that there probably is something to how accessible it is right now and how easy it is
to use.
That was
their point,
But that said, people, I mean, when they found Pompeii, they found like a sex menu where people could go choose what there was.
Oh, yeah.
Sex. Yeah, I mean, porn's been around.
Sex and porn's not going anywhere.
Yeah. So, I mean,
No. It's been around forever.
I mean, being anti-porn or anti-masturbation is just, that's like being anti-eating.
How do we do it well and healthy?
Yeah.
That's the question. Not like get rid of it. Get a grip. You have no grip on life.
Right. Like, is there a problem with the current porn industry? Absolutely. Yeah. But the problem isn't that it exists.
No. It's our complete access and like will and unwillingness to not look at it.
And I think the much, 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 much bigger problem is the stigma of it.
Yeah, the stigma and the shame that goes with it.
Which is what does this do to help that stigma and shame? Like nothing. Pamela Anderson screaming about it with some rabbi. Like first of all, girl, listen,
this feels like I found out Beck was a Scientologist.
Yeah, if she's not willing to use her, like the fact that it's Pamela Anderson talking about this in a way, it's like it's so absurd.
Yeah, you know? I mean, well, of course, I mean, because she is the godmother of the sex tape.
Yeah.
I mean, the Pamela Kim Anderson
Kardashian
Tom
is
movie.
Her daughter.
Yeah.
Literally.
Or goddaughter.
Yeah, goddaughter. Yeah. Like just like how Miley. Don't you guys love that Miley is Dolly's goddaughter?
I didn't know that.
That's right. That's amazing.
I didn't know that.
How adorable is that?
That is super great.
That's perfect.
But porn, the point about Pamela Anderson is like that means she's in a cult, which is disappointing.
It is
always really like,
and you get the sense that she got like she was, you know, is being taken advantage of, or her influenced somehow by like this guy who's that's like really upsetting. But
yeah,
you know, her and Tommy Lee at my first and worst job of my life when I worked at Skechers in the outlet mall in my hometown. I had to wear a basketball jersey to work, oversized basketball jersey to work.
Boy.
You know, when you're clearing shoes off the floor that people have been trying on, they call that clearing wood. Anyway,
what?
So I was clearing wood at Skechers in my basketball jersey. And I see this like really smelly guy walk in, and I thought he was, you know, like homeless or something. And I look up and I realize that it was Tommy Lee and Pamela Anderson. And they came in all stinky into my Skechers one day.
Did you have to clear their wood?
I had to clear their wood.
But it's so cool though. Do you have any idea how many times they probably like rolled into like the first class line at the airport looking like whodunit?
Yeah.
And then the people are like, oh no. You're not a homeless degenerate.
Famous.
You're super famous and rich. That's like from one second to another. That's great.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you guys want to hear a little bit of the sex scene? We found the script.
Oh yeah.
Definitely.
From Showgirls.
Yeah,
okay. Absolutely. Okay. Exterior pool night. She is against the side of the pool. Her face is turned away from him now. His hand is inside her mouth.
What? Oh, interesting detail there. Yeah. She's faced away from him because he's pushing her away and clawing him towards her with her mouth.
Her mouth open. He holds her by the mouth. Okay, we get it.
Okay, we get his mouth.
Her head is back. His other hand is inside the cleft of her butt as he is inside her under the water. These are all .. Okay, ellipses. Oh. She moves against him up and down, back and forth, bump and grind. The lap dancer's movement. As he pulls her backwards, turning her head roughly, she starts to moan. The water from the fountain hits her in the face.
Yeah, oh yeah.
As she comes and tries to breathe.
Wow, it's really good.
It's wonderful. And it's so awesome, like reading, like hearing that and just like picturing Nomi being formed.
So,
yeah. Okay, this is what's going to go down.
She fucking went for that, man.
Oh my God, that lap dance scene she does.
But everything is so overly acted. Like, my favorite scene is just right when she meets her roommate. God damn, what was her name?
I don't remember the roommate's name.
The girl with the braids who eventually ended up getting raped by her idol.
Right.
Yeah.
And then she's like asking her, you know, where are you from? And she's like throws her fries in like different places. Yeah. And then just like, she's like, it's such a mess. She's a walking firework.
Yeah, when
firework.
She runs to the car and like beats on it.
Everything is like,
it's
so...
like, it's very like senior in the high school production, and the director was like, make a choice.
Yeah, I want this to work. That's what she must said to herself every day. You know, I want to do this. I'm going to do this movie.
Did you guys see that picture I posted the other? I was walking by like a community theater, and I saw them rehearsing.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like this woman on the ground being held from behind by the guy. It was like the perfect.
That picture made me so happy. You really captured a community theater.
It was really a moment.
Was it on campus at the community college?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, it wasn't. It was just the
community theater just happening.
I love that.
It's beautiful. Really...
We'll post that on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
So you're in community college.
Yeah, I am. I don't know. I decided to I want to train in music really, or not train. I just want to learn an instrument, and it's insanely cheap to take it there. So I'm taking piano in this other music class. But it's funny because I'm such an asshole. I was like, oh, this is going to be like, you know, the professors are all going to be whatever, not going to give a shit. And they all have like PhDs and they're like super legit.
They're like nice people. Yeah.
Yeah, they're great. And so I don't know. Yeah,
is this your first time at a community college?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I went to like a university, but they're great. And I'm like, why the fuck am I paying back this giant loan for my regular school when I could have been doing this the whole time?
I'm so pro community college.
Yes.
Oh, it's amazing.
2 years you can cut out of a 2 years.
Yeah.
Oh, so cheap.
I mean, it's not so as cheap. Easy as that. It's not, I suspect it's not like, well, okay, you could go ace community college classes for 2 years and then just glide seamlessly into
fucking
Princeton.
In California, California has a really, really strong state college, just like UCLA and Berkeley and schools like that. Yeah. And they coordinate with the community colleges here. So, like, you can go for cheap at a community college in California and then transfer to, like, UCLA or Berkeley, which are great schools. And they coordinate with each other. So it is pretty
That's what they were saying because they were
the same way.
They were saying, like, they're looking for, you know, ideally you would go to, like, a conservatory for music if you, like, took it as a major. Mm-hmm. And also Herb Alpert, the musician, donated a shitload of money so that all the music majors get free tuition forever.
Oh my god, that's crazy.
What? So if you
thanks Herb Albert.
Yeah.
Damn.
All right. So yeah, I don't know. It's going well. I mean, I definitely had this moment where I was walking into class where I was like, I'm going to be the old lady in school. Like, because you know, there's always
you
like,
are the old lady.
Are you the oldest one? Can't be true.
Barbara. I'm not.
70 years old. Wants to learn the piano.
It's like a bunch of like 18-year-old kids and then me.
That's you're the amazing. Old lady in community lunch.
I love
Barbara,
it.
In 1 month, you have put out an infomercial and become the old lady in community college. And I am so proud of
Thank you.
You.
So
I'm
proud.
Really, I'm becoming my best self. Oh yeah, we've had some people write to us. I'm in this. I have before and after pictures on Beachbody's. Fucking, we have like.
She's in an infomercial for something called Country Heat.
Yeah.
Whoa, what the happened?
What is Country Heat?
It's a workout program with Beachbody. It's like I did country line dancing for 90 days
to lose weight and get slim and like your
yeah. Well, I lost like
country line dancing.
I lost 33 pounds or whatever.
Yeah. That sounds like a fun.
Yeah, it was really fun.
Healthy way to do it,
right?
Yeah,
really fun.
Yeah,
and now I like country music. It was crazy. Anyway, you can.
Who's
find...
your favorite country singer now?
Oh, I don't.
I've been trying to get you into country for a while.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know the names. I just know the songs.
I like those oldies like Loretta Lynn and Patsy Cline.
Oh yeah.
Oh my god,
that's my kind of country.
Songwriting though, because American I don't know, American music doesn't seem to have a lot of like narrative songwriting. That's just how country's like that.
And I think that's why I like country, because I'm a musical theater girl, so I like storytelling songs.
Yeah. Old country's my favorite too.
The one that makes me laugh recently that I keep hearing on the radio, I don't know who sings it, but it's like something about a truck.
Oh, I love that song.
Something about a
girl.
Yeah, it's like something about a girl
and a booze and a beer and a. That sounds like he was just like, I'm gonna do a song, and somebody found his notes and then that made that a song. He was actually writing the song.
I mean, we're also quoting it terribly, but
no, that is literally
that's pretty much it. It definitely does go. There's something about a truck.
Yeah,
there's that. My sister and I are going to see Garth Brooks
Ocean
in a couple weeks.
Damn,
what? I mean, so we're seeing Beyonce in like 2 weeks.
I'm
also,
seeing.
By the way.
But now in those huge giant concerts, where are you going to sit? Or where are you going to stand? Because it seems like you'll be watching from a screen. I'm not trying
probably.
To like...
Probably. No, probably.
I mean, I'm like... All
it is called Something About a Truck, by the way.
Yeah.
Is the name of the song.
Perfect. No, it's absolutely what the song is. I love going to like big shows. Sometimes I'll throw down... I mean, usually if I can afford it, I will... throw down for like a nice ticket.
Yeah.
Just because you're going to have you don't want to see all.
I get anxious and crazy in those big crowds. So like, but it is about the crowd experience though, right? Like being around people who also enjoy it.
No, I think it's more just like, I like seeing Beyonce tear shit up, or I like to see Britney do her thing, or like, you know, like I just like to see, I love pop shows because of like how much money they cost. Like just the explosions and the what have you. Like
the production. Theatrics
Madonna
of it all.
Always did a really good stage show.
Yes.
Like,
I mean, I don't like
Madonna
either, but it's worth it for me to see like
because
I can't go because I don't want to pay that much, so I'll just be watching it on the screen. I'd rather just watch it at home with the Olympics.
Almost called you Katya. Brian, you can get into shows for free, I think.
I don't know how to do it though.
Just email people and be like, hi, I want to go to the show.
Yeah, but I don't like doing that because I don't know how to like pull strings or whatever. Do you know what I mean?
Maybe you need to hire a string puller.
Yeah, I have to. Like my manager, he would be like, he's like a shark, so he'd figure it out.
You're like, hey, manager, give me the Beyonce ticket.
That's the point. Yeah, you want to get to the point where someone else does.
But even then, though, so like, if you can, I don't know, I just. Even if I can see them, like I like to be able to see the star like close up, so I can see like what
their faces.
Skin face looks like.
Okay, and those tickets are expensive.
They're like $1,000.
Those are. I mean, if
how
I'm
does
just
anybody pay for that?
If I'm close enough to where I can like see their costumes clearly and I can see the shit, then that's great.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
You know, I'd do that for like 20 minutes.
Yeah,
that's all I would need. Like it's, you know, it's crazy.
Yeah, but like, I mean, but also like Beyonce, we're gonna see her. What, a week?
That's my first stadium show.
It's a week.
I've never been
it's
to
almost a week
really?
Away.
This is my second time seeing this show. I'm wearing the tour shirt right now. I kind of like Beyonce.
I really like that shirt, actually.
Thank
you. It's great.
Yeah. This tour, like Beyonce in general, obviously is a huge show, but like the video screen that she has is the size of a skyscraper.
Holy crap.
And she uses it so well.
Oh, that's true. Whoa. Because in a lot of, because she's incorporating a lot of her video and film stuff into the show.
Yeah. Right.
So it's more,
I mean,
you were at the VMAs, right?
Yeah. I just,
oh my God.
So we
were
on the white carpet because it was white, but we were on there and then somebody screamed and like, what's going on? And they're like, it's Beyonce. And I'm like rubbernecking and there was a false alarm. Because she came in right as we were there as well, but she only walked like a small portion of the carpet, which is really long.
So you saw the performance, obviously, at the VMAs?
No, I left. I left. I didn't.
Left?
I didn't want to see the show. No, because we.
Brian.
I know. I don't want to see the show. Like I know I wasn't going to like it very much. I liked her thing. And then I liked,
Brianna?
No, I saw Britney because...
Britney, of course.
She's not... She's... We have to keep her alive.
She's doing fine. She's doing great.
She's doing great. We got to keep her happy because that's our cultural debt to her. We ruined her.
Agreed.
So as long as... But if she says in a loud voice, I don't want to do this anymore...
Then we let her sit down. Then we let her go. Yeah. It's very true.
She seems like she's doing great. We follow her very closely. On Instagram, she's always posting... So it's like her hanging out with her boys all the time. She's doing okay.
Every morning I check the New York Times and Britney's Instagram.
Is she to New York Times like, is the world dead? Is Britney dead? Okay.
Those are my two concerns. Checking in.
And that's a harbinger of doom when she dies.
Oh God, I can't.
And it's just a symbol, but I think it's going to be a big symbol.
I can't.
Oh God,
it's going to be a big one.
I love her so much.
I've been talking about this on stage, but there's just one Britney Instagram where she's twirling under a waterfall,
and the caption
it says, "I twirling for all my haters,
all my haters."
That's fabulous.
Well, it's perfect though because this is what she's trying to quote Beyonce formation. Yeah. I twirl on my haters, and that's the difference between Britney and Beyonce. Is Britney twirls for the haters, and Beyonce twirls on the haters.
Isn't that profound?
Yeah. That is profound. I mean, that is so profound. That isn't literally the difference between both of them.
Exactly.
They are.
Yeah, and that Beyonce said the statement first, and then Britney tweaked and then the same statement.
And
yeah,
she tried to quote it.
And then she told the truth.
And she's looking good, and she's wearing her ponytail and a scrunchie, and she's behind a waterfall, and she is twirling for her haters. She twirls for her haters.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's what I love about Britney is like in so many ways, she's so self-aware in her own special, like she's just such a special, special person.
Yeah. It's a particular like a degree of self-awareness. That's
Fucking Carpool Karaoke when she was like, so James Corden was like, do you know what Oops I Did It Again? What is Oops I Did It Again about? And she goes, I don't know.
That's so funny. I I'm not really sure.
I was like, what is the lyrics?
Well, also, she was, 15 or something?
Yeah, a baby. But it's just so funny. Babe. I was like, you're amazing.
I mean, but what's great about that statement is that we all know that nothing makes less sense than that music video. Why is she in space?
It makes zero. But the lyrics make sense. Titanic. The lyrics make sense.
Yeah, the lyrics do, but you can tell from her.
Yeah, the Titanic thing is insane.
But you can tell that has Britney written all over it. You can tell that she didn't know what that song was about, and she was like, let's do like a Titanic reference.
I want to wear a red jumpsuit.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But you know what the important thing of all those, that and before that, she was in flat sneakers, and that's really important.
Yes.
Yeah.
She needs to get her out of those damn heels, you guys. Like, she doesn't want to dance, you're going to make her dance. Like, she needs to be in, like, flat sneakers.
You know what? The comedian Eliza Skinner, she works on James Corden.
Yeah.
And she was, like, watching Britney videos for the Carpool Karaoke thing, and she texted me. She goes, we just need to get Britney out of those heels.
Yeah.
She said
because her appeal was, like, this aggressive, energetic, almost tomboyish sexy girl that because it was low to the ground. It's like, it was like that kind of power in the feet that wasn't delicate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that was like a really kind of like those boom, boom.
That is
boom.
True. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a really
it's like power
masculine way of dancing. That was, and she flung her hair and had a crazy hot body. And a lot of the skin was shown in the belly. Like, cause they had those low, low, low rise.
Oh God.
Pants.
Thank God. Thank those God. Fucking, those are not coming
she
back.
She looks so hot in those.
You have to shave your whole vagina.
So yeah.
You have to shave your entire vagina to wear them. Yeah.
If you drop something, it's just gone. You can't pick it up.
3 inches of crack.
What are you
going to
do?
Yeah. There were
7 years of my life, you could see like a whale tail in it every day because I wore those pants.
Oh, yeah.
It would just be like my jean line, flesh, my underwear.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's my style.
Yeah, that's just, it just happened. Everybody's doing it. It doesn't matter.
We all just kind of accepted it.
Yeah.
That's
just what happened.
So wait, did you, before you started dancing, like had to dance in heels for drag stuff, had you dance in sneakers and stuff like that?
I don't really like dance. I took like two semesters of ballet, but like I just kind of like wiggle. And like fall down and grind around. We didn't have like where a small tea stage where it's like a cabaret where we just like we're like present yourself on stage and then just go right to the audience and jump on them.
Right.
Like in terms of like a dance routine, it's all really like basic. But I hate wearing heels. I hate
really.
Yeah,
what a fucking nightmare.
They're great to wear in a photo shoot because obviously they make the leg and foot look really sexy. But that's literally it.
That's the problem with them is like they're, I wish we could get rid of them as a society, but they make you look so hot.
You know what? I have this guy friend and he's married to a woman and they're really, really cool. And he's just says, you know, honey, can you put on those heels? And he jerks off on her leg.
That's awesome.
And she takes them right off.
Guys,
you know what? I was just, I was actually thinking about this as like maybe a joke idea or something recently, but well.
Let's workshop it.
Workshop this out.
Come on. I was more dwelling this night. But I actually think like sex is the ideal use for heels because you're not walking.
The only place you can wear those 6-inch Louboutins that,
and
like,
that's who it's for. Like, yeah.
Yeah. You don't want to. You don't want to like objectify and hobble yourself in public. You know, like, no, I'm not gonna run away from the guy you just, who now has a boner because of your goddamn heels.
Yeah, because you look too fucking good because of these stilts that you're on.
Yeah, yeah. It's awful.
Yeah, I mean, but God, I just can't. I mean, there's nothing like a heel. Like, it just makes your
But that's why it's
amazing.
Okay to just use them once in a while.
So, but
I mean,
they really,
I wear them like maybe like twice a year or some shit.
Me too, and I always regret it.
It's weird there aren't retractable heels yet. Like,
there's a robot on Mars, but we don't
Shark
have retractable
Shark
heels.
Tank. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Go.
Yeah.
Why isn't there like a button on your phone
the
heart, that you can just hit?
Because the problem with like, there's such a like a craftsman like aura of appreciation for heels that you keep, it's like, you know, those, remember the ones with the pump?
Oh,
they just become
little
gadget things, and that's inherently not sexy for some reason.
That's true. Gadgets and heels.
There's
really,
a way. Yeah. There's a way to do it, though. You know what I mean?
I think so.
Like,
yeah.
I think there's a way to do
you
it.
You know what you have to start with is like, it's too bad Alexander McQueen is dead because he would have been the perfect one to roll that out with, like, a ridiculous artsy crazy
I
Lady
feel
Gaga
like
situation
would,
that re- you have to make it art first.
Yeah. And then it'll become like every day. Yeah.
I feel like it would unscrew like a table.
And then it could
thing.
And then it could be a weapon.
Yes, please.
That's a lot of time, though.
Like, I want hidden weapons on me at all times. That's what I always want.
Why is the woman? The industry for hidden weapons on women needs to be
I
way
feel like honestly might be bigger than we know.
Yeah,
but it's underground. It needs to. Well, I guess it has to be for hidden purposes.
we have to take a break.
Oh yeah, okay.
But we're gonna be back.
BRB.
BRB.
Hey, we're back on Lady to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Barbara.
I'm Tess.
And we're here with Brian McCook.
Hi, that's me.
You can have a Kit Kat.
Have a Kit Kat.
Have a Kit Kat. Yeah. Go for it. Have as many as you want.
There's a donut in there with a Twix inside of it, too.
He had a donut.
Oh, okay.
Delicious, right?
So good.
I just love how pro-donut this podcast has become.
Really?
I love a donut.
Why would it be anything but?
I love a donut. I love it way more than a cupcake.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no question. Question.
Donut wins.
Yeah, without a doubt.
I'm just pro-pleasure, like, in every way.
Yes, pro-pleasure.
Embrace your inner pleasure.
Was that a Tanya? Was that a Tanya talking? It felt like a Tanya to me.
Tanya, yeah, or like Melanie?
Oh, yeah. That was
Mel for sure.
Was getting some good Mel vibes off that
Mel's
voice.
Always go by, like, Mel and then last initial.
Yeah, Mel C, Mel B, Mel K.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Interesting. Mel B, Scary Spice, is great.
Really?
That's all. She was a judge on Drag Race, and she's like, really, she was the best judge ever.
I was talking about her last night with some people who didn't know about that Eddie Murphy thing with her.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, that's crazy.
It's so fucked up, yeah.
That I don't know what it is.
He's her baby daddy, but he won't admit it or something.
Yeah.
He refuses to take a paternity test.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And there was also rumors about him having dalliances with like trans hookers.
I've heard about that.
Yeah.
But you know what though? That could be any man. Because get with the program. Every man does that.
Exactly.
I mean, not every man. I mean, but it's so much more prevalent than you think.
I'm sure. Yes. Yeah.
Definitely.
Wait. So who? Like, what's besides Mel B? What were some other like real fun Drag Race judges that you've had?
Mm. Well, Mel B was awesome. Olivia Newton-John.
Oh, I could see that.
She talks so softly though. I was at the edge of the stage where I was closest to her.
Yeah.
And she kind of whispered like this. I mean, nobody could understand anything she was saying. It was really funny. And she was super nice. And then, this is a spoiler. I can't say that.
Okay.
I don't know. Who else? Oh, there was a bad one. I mean, the bad ones have been really bad too.
Yeah.
I was so excited for the actor who plays Lafayette in True Blood, or played Lafayette in True Blood.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The really, really flamboyant cook character.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Maybe he was like sick or just like not feeling it that day because he was awful.
Oh, that sucks.
And he's straight, which is like always he's a great actor then.
Yeah.
Because he was so super boring in person. That was a bummer though.
How was Blondie?
That was on, oh my God, season 8, the one right in between season 7 All Stars. No, because it happened right after. Blondie and then also Amy Sedaris and David Sedaris.
The Sedarises would have been a dream.
But I'm glad though, because if I had a bad time in the challenge and like and had done a shitty job, and then they said like, and they were like, oh, you're kind of not cool, I would have been devastated.
Yeah. Right. You can't recover from bad words from the Sedaris's.
I don't ever want to, I've like met her, whatever, you know, just like at a signing, whatever. She's one of my favorite people in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't want to be her friend and I don't want her to say anything bad about me. So like, I don't want to meet them. Don't meet your idols. You know, that's the kind
has
of thing.
Has anybody done Jerry people. Blank for drag? That would be fun.
Oh, that would be a good snatch game.
Is that a challenge?
It was a whole challenge. Can't
do, yeah. Yeah, you couldn't do it for a snatch game because there's a thing about copywritten characters.
Oh.
But yeah, it's like snatch game works better when you're just lampooning a person. You know what I mean?
That makes sense.
Yeah, and but she's a oh man. Raven actually had done a really from California. She was on season two. She did like a really good Jerry Blank look. Then yeah, it's so great.
Yeah, God, I fucking love her. Is she still waitressing and like having bunnies in her apartment and stuff?
I don't know. Like, she was on recently on this Adult Swim like show called The Heart She Holler, which is the most twisted,
Appalachian
grotesque
show.
Comedy. Yeah, and she loves to be disgusting.
I know. That's what I love about her.
She loves to be the most like she. You can tell that she just delights in the grotesque, like in the feminine grotesque, you know, with like multiple breasts and like scales around her vagina. You know what I mean? That kind of just like the grosser, the better. And I love that so much. Like,
I just saw that Cindy Sherman exhibit. And that's exactly what it was like. Just like this grotesque, like femininity, just putting on all these different. Yeah. And she does it all by herself. So I can just imagine her like dressing up. You know, when you put on makeup and you're like, oh, let me just like put on like weird lip. Yeah, just like get really weird with it. You just tell goes for it.
I don't think I've done that since I was a kid with
it's
makeup where I'm just
do.
Like, let me see how I did plays and stuff a lot where I guess I have played characters where I had to make myself look older or do stuff like that. Me too.
I did it because I was getting rid of a bunch of makeup, so I put it all on at once and just made it look bizarre. I think I have a picture of it. It's fucking crazy.
That's awesome.
But it is fun to just go for
it. Is makeup what got you interested in drag?
It's a part of it. Especially like that fork, because I always like makeup just in general, not beauty makeup, but like when you go from like a flat nothing face and you go like, okay, you could go try to make myself the most beautiful or try to make myself the most ugly.
Yeah.
And I usually don't. I usually can't if with another drag queen, if they can't get that last fork, if they never wanted to go there, then I usually don't get along with them super well.
I could see that.
Because it's just like the most visible, the most invisible.
Yeah.
And usually people don't want to be invisible.
Right.
But like if you've ever wanted to be invisible, especially for drag queens, they just have to wait till they're old. gay men are invisible when they're old in a way that like
women know nothing about that.
I think it's even worse than women, honestly. That's not true, because if you have money then you're okay, but
it's true.
Yeah,
well, gay culture is like very youth obsessed too, just in general.
My God. I think just like concentrated a lot of the same, like the Venn diagram between like gay interests and women's interests are like there's like significant.
It's a pretty
overlap.
Fat circle.
It's crazy.
Well, I mean, I think what it is, well, it's like in with gay men, it seems kind of like men like youth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So like, in heterosexual culture, that means that like they turn 50 and get their third 25-year-old wife. But maybe in gay culture, it's like. It's
But then if you don't, old and poor. That's the ultimate invisibility.
Yeah. I mean, but that's for everyone, I think.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
And it's
like,
I used to have nightmares about that. Like, not about, like, Freddy Krueger. I'd be, like, being poor. When I'm, like, old. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's really scary. That's, like, real world scary.
No, it's true.
Like, when you were a kid, you had that nightmare?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Dude, an old person at a bus stop will send me into a spiral. It like, freaks me out so bad to be like.
See, I absolutely adore old people. I like
them.
It's weird. Like, I find the people I get along with very naturally are like 12-year-olds and 80-year-olds.
Oh, interesting.
I love both of those. Like, I really like old people. To me, like, I've just always vibed with them.
I adore old people, like, but aging fucking terrifies me.
Sure.
I think it doesn't terrify me as much because I've taught senior citizens aerobics and like met.
Right, and you know, it's just life. The thing is, life just happens, and you get more happier as you get older.
Life happens.
You're just like, who gives a shit?
And you get happier, and like, and also you have actually a fairly large degree of choice in terms of how you're going to age. You want to exercise and not eat like shit?
Oh,
you're
going to
be a much happier old person. I know that from people.
Yeah,
when I taught exercise to old people, I was like, oh, everyone just move your fucking ass and you'll be fine.
Yeah. Stop being lazy, you 85.
That's your version of your version of get move Michelle Obama's like get moving.
Yeah. Move your fucking ass and you'll be fine.
Just throwing people out of wheelchairs all over the place.
Oh, can you curse on this?
Oh yeah.
No fucking way.
Yeah.
No, we've talked about fucking in a pool, but you can't.
Oh, I know.
Okay, let's play our game. Let's play our little. You're gonna get to hear one of our theme songs.
Yes.
Oh, great.
Oh boy.
Who, what, where, when, who, what, where, when, who, what, where, when, who, what, where.
glad we don't have the old lady problem. So
I know. It's all right. Okay.
Okay. So I think you can tell the name of the game, probably.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Feast of All Saints.
Yeah.
Hello, where, when, why?
We'll just ask you some random questions. Just say whatever.
You can interpret them however you want.
Okay.
Yeah. They're mostly pretty straightforward. They're pretty straightforward. Who were your childhood heroes?
Oh, who were my childhood? What's it? Jem?
Yeah.
Jem and Holograms. That was that one. She-Ra. Yeah. Any woman with power who was also sexy.
Yes.
Or smart. Or both. Yeah.
Nice. Three, yeah. Hell yeah.
Were you into like the pop icons, like the divas?
No, I liked more superheroes, like that kind of stuff. Like people who could make really crazy shit happen.
Like Wonder Woman.
Yeah. But always woman. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So like later on when Kill Bill was like, that came out, that was like a real woman. So oh my God.
I can see your drag being really Kill Bill influenced, actually.
I love all those. I mean, all those women, the whole, you know, the Daryl Hannah's character. And then God, she's and amazing. Then, Lucy Liu's character, like all the different characters. Oh.
Oh, you just had your eye patch, which
yeah,
is very
yeah, like L Driver. Yeah, exactly. Yes. I love that. It's like I love superheroes too, but usually that it gets a little too like out of this world, you know? They can't make it, but Kill Bill is a perfect superhero movie.
Oh my God, isn't it? Those movies are beautiful.
Oh, so
I love
good.
Those. I want to watch those again right now.
Yeah.
I just watched it a couple weeks ago. It's amazing.
That scene where she's stuck in there and she has to get it out with her foot, where she has to kick open suspenseful.
Very alive, I know. And then there's a great kung fu like teaching montage in the middle of that. It's great.
It's so fucking good.
I love kung fu movies.
Yeah, I mean, I like it, but I want to see women in them.
Yeah.
Like, that's the, you know.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon?
Yeah.
See, I think like that kind of shit.
Yeah, and there's a lot of like really powerful, like not victim women in those movies. You know?
Yeah,
definitely. Absolutely.
Are you into like Ronda Rousey and that kind of?
I don't know what that is.
You know who Ronda Rousey is?
No,
she's a UFC.
Brian, you'll love her. She's so awesome.
Is it UFC? I don't know about UFC fighting.
Just,
though.
You don't have to watch the fighting. You can just follow her on Instagram. Okay.
Don't pay attention to what she does, darling. Just look at her. What is it, Ronda? What?
Ronda Rousey is her Ronda name, and she—it's actually really, really cool because UFC is a really like burgeoning sport.
It is incredibly violent.
Yeah, it is.
Bare hands, no pads, right?
Yeah.
That's insane.
But you know, everyone kind of knows what they're doing, and usually it's fine. And like,
I mean, I can see not wanting to watch. I don't really like watching that kind of stuff.
I don't know why. It's maybe kind of weird that I like boxing and UFC because I'm like a pacifist vegetarian.
Yeah, it's super weird. Yeah, so talk about it. What
I mean, to me, I find it very similar to dancing. Like, she's really.
Oh, she's gorgeous. She's not like, at all what I had pictured in my
she's
mind.
She's beautiful.
And she's just like super ripped. And like,
yeah. And UFC is, it's probably, I would think, the most egalitarian sport. Isn't she gorgeous?
And also, like, yeah.
She's like a total badass.
Yeah. A total badass. And like the height of like athletic femininity.
Isn't it? Yeah. I mean, that's why I love about her so much is like she is strong and like her beauty comes from her strength. Like she's.
Well,
so,
also she's like from hair and makeup too.
Yeah. And they sometimes make her act and she's bad at it. But.
Like the WWE.
She was in that Mission Impossible.
She was in Mission Impossible.
Oh, gotcha.
She was in the Fast and Furious.
Oh, okay.
But
I thought you meant like in the no acting in the UFC though.
No.
Yeah, they don't have like wrestling intros. She's kind of cool though.
She's such a good fighter. This is crazy unprecedented because UFC is obviously a very male dominated market.
Yeah.
She was recently defeated, but she's when she fights, she's the title fight.
Okay, gotcha.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And so the female card is on the same card as the men. And not only is it on the same card as the men, but the primetime fight of the night is two women.
Right, right.
So it's a very kind of cool sport because the stars are coming out to be women and men watch the women. And like there's no other area really in sports where like the females are starting to be as like visible and respected and viewed on an equal playing field. So it's kind of like awesome.
I want to know like when a room full of men who are watching that fight, I want to know which ones of them, honestly, like what is they're thinking about?
I think they're seriously watching she's a really fun fighter to watch. Like, it's funny, what I like about fighting is like the story behind it and like the rivalries. And it is kind of, there's like that wrestling element
there's drama for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, there's that building up to it, but then, and it doesn't bother me cause they're both like consenting adults and they're well.
Oh yeah. 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 Nobody's coerced in it.
To me, it's a lot like watching people dance together or fuck. It's like, how are you going to, there's sort of like a real intimacy you have to have with someone to fight with them.
Well, they're in the, you know, those moments when they're resting and the boxers are like hugging each other.
Yeah.
It's so bizarre to me.
It is very intimate.
Yeah. Like there's some really good fighters who like barely move at all, who it's just really about how they're like taking it slow. I mean, everyone has like a really different fighting style, and there's some people who like in the first round they're just really good at dodging punches and conserving their energy. Yeah.
It is the total, it could be the and then the knockout is the orgasm.
Yeah, but knockouts also aren't super super common.
Oh, right, cuz that's like fantasy land. That's like when in the action movie when I punch you and your lights get knocked out.
Although
like,
Ronda had a knockout, so she had a rivalry with this woman who just was like talking shit, said shit cuz Ronda Rousey's dad killed himself and her rival said something about it. So there was this crazy So that fight, Ronda just calmly walked in the ring. That fight was 14 seconds long.
Oh, my God.
She walked in the ring and knocked that girl out in 14 seconds. And afterwards, she just goes, I would just like to say, you don't say anything bad about my family.
Yeah.
Do you guys feel like that?
That's like the fucking Godfather. Yeah. I mean, that's just like.
Do you guys feel like I've had, not that I've ever
knocked. That's a movie. Right. That happened in real life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've never knocked anyone out, but when somebody, when I have some personal shit going on and I go on stage, those are always my best sets.
Yeah.
So I need someone to come say something to me about my dad who killed himself before I perform.
Yeah. Come to me. Hardest way you can.
That's what Beyonce says.
Come at me.
In the HBO documentary, Life is But a Dream, Beyonce says, I love when someone pisses me off right before I go on stage.
Seriously, because like that energy you bring.
Yeah.
Well,
because you don't give a fuck about what people think. You're this is my true.
I don't want any of that. Really? Like, you can do it. You're great. You can do it. You know, I need like the opposite. I'm like,
okay, let's ask our next question.
Oh, yeah. So, what is your favorite aspect of drag?
What's my favorite aspect of drag? Well, it's not shoes. I'd say favorite. It's hard because there's so many different ones.
I mean, it's a very simple question we're asking about.
No, because but drag, though, it's different, though, because there's like, it's literally, the limits of it are whatever your brain says.
Yeah, it can be anything.
Acting, dancing, being a social person, you know, there's all these different, I'd probably say like the acting part.
Yeah,
I would say the acting part, like the what you do, the performance part.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you're so strong in that. I mean, like it's like.
Well, I'm not like good actor, but you can just
but
dress
you take
up
on
like
the
anybody.
Character.
Yeah, character stuff. Yeah,
yeah.
I like drag queens who there's many. Most of them just play one character just because that's like efficient. It makes sense, like, and that's marketable.
Yeah,
you
know, right.
You have 400 characters, then you have to call yourself your regular name, and you do. Yeah, but yeah, I like that a lot. I also really like the fashion part of it. But it gets murky though, because then you have to think about like if you're just aspiring to like rich femininity or like stylish femininity, and more stylish femininity is just like rich, you know, and then you're just kind of like towing the party line and not like critiquing anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. And like, that's something I noticed actually like on the show. Like, I think Brandy and I have talked about this, where it's like, it's kind of interesting. Like oh my God, why am I blanking on her name
right
now?
You can sense the classism on the show.
Oh, well the show skews towards fashion.
Yeah. Of course.
And drag is not, drag has not traditionally been about fashion. Every drag queen has been poor. Like everyone. You know what I mean?
Of course.
Most drag queens are fucking poor.
You're artists.
Like, poor working artists, and like you're literally scamming, like hooking during the day to like, and then performing at night. You know, that's like, that's the kind of drag that I know. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I like a lot. And it's like the bed sheet version of the Armani gown or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
But so what happens when you give drag money? It just goes and buys the Armani gown. Like that doesn't seem right.
That's what I liked about Chi-Chi so much last season. Yeah. Like, and that's why I really fell in love with her, because I loved her like scrappy pride. Like, where she was like, I'm fucking making this work on nothing. And like, I loved watching her do that. And to me, that was so interesting and so compelling to watch and see. Yeah. Like,
but you know what? The next thing that the show does and is all about is really important, because it absolutely rewards substance over style.
Definitely. Yes.
And if you have talent, you have real discernible talent, especially more than just what is traditionally in the drag community, they will give you the fucking crown.
Absolutely.
They don't say that ever explicitly, but that's what they'll do. Mm-hmm. And it's great. And of course, like, the visual part of it is so important. So you can't look a mess. Like, people just dismiss you as something else. Then go be an actor, go be a comedian, go whatever. I love that about the show.
Well, that's what I love about just RuPaul's whole flow. Like, there's so many things about RuPaul that just like inspire me and fucking bless. But I just love that. And it might sound kind of trite, but just the idea of like, just be you, and that will be the best thing you can do. I know that's like so trite, but it's like the queens that like really just are honest about what they have.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just so obvious.
Yeah. Can I wait? So I love, there's the one of the things I would, I was supposed to say it somewhere, and then I didn't I have the guts to, because it kind of like, it's because RuPaul also is very like a big supporter of that kind of you know, of course you have to be yourself, and I said like, just be yourself, and if no one likes that, change. Because so I was funny. Like, I was like, oh my God, no, because it's like, I'm definitely trying to be myself, but I've always been myself. So for people who are living a lie, you know, like, or in these situations that are really tough for them to be themselves, they need to be themselves. But like, if you're lucky enough to have been supported from the get-go, which is rare, and I'm like lucky for that, you have to be better.
Yeah.
Then like, you know, so what is it like, what's true to me, but also like a better person? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
how
do you ascend
yourself?
Like, yeah, how do I just get better? How do I get better at, like, because my instincts, they are very me. Some of them are really awful, you know? Like, some of them are really terrible. So
I agree, too, because it's like, yeah, be just you, but like, I'm pretty,
step.
Like, it's like, yeah, well, but then I'm only obsessed with myself, and that isn't good. So I do need to push myself.
It's making it, creating the best version of yourself.
Right. But you got to find out who the fuck you are first.
Yeah.
Because a lot of kids don't even know they're fucking gay. Or whatever, or they're in these situations where, like, you're in Oklahoma, or I don't know about Oklahoma, but some place where that's not tolerant and supportive. Mm-hmm. Because I get emails all the time from people like, I'm about to marry this girl, and I don't have the courage to tell her that I'm gay. Oh, I'm like, oh my God,
no.
Like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
what are you doing? Jesus Christ!
Is it stressful to get those emails?
Yes. I delete them all. No, I can't. I mean, I'm not that person, but you know, the fact that still happens.
Yeah.
It's so bad. And to women, the women are never talked about in these scenarios. How like?
Thank you.
Can you imagine being a woman?
Only Julianne Moore plays these characters.
Yes, she exactly does. She does. She's the ultimate female victim. Yes. It's so true. That quiet desperation that's just like unraveling. Yeah. Oh my God. Far from heaven.
But yeah, but it's, I mean, that's really a shitty thing to do to someone.
Can you imagine feeling
that's a
like
shitty thing to
and
do
not
to
knowing, not having this like the satisfaction of knowing that, oh, he's just a goddamn queer.
Yeah.
But like, my husband doesn't love me. I'm disgusting every day.
Because
every day.
We're taught to feel inadequate all the time. Of course you're gonna think yourself. It's you.
Yeah, at least you get at the very least you get banged out by your husband every night and just feel like, oh, okay, great.
Yeah. You deserve a dick that wants to fuck you.
You do, every woman. You're
ladies.
Listening. You're listening.
You deserve a
and
dick
young
that
boys.
Wants to fuck
yeah.
You.
Yes.
I grew up in Salt Lake City, so I, you know, and I was a theater nerd, so I had so many guys who were friends who couldn't come out or didn't know they were gay.
Yeah.
You know, grew up Mormon and just couldn't do it. And it is so nice to see many of them now on Facebook with their boyfriends, with the ones who like realized it. But then there are guys who, and maybe I'm wrong, you know, who knows, but who I do think were gay, who did get married and stuff.
I swear there's one from my high school, and it'll bother me. I need to know the truth.
Oh,
and like,
God.
And I need to know. I knew he was gay in high school, but we were in different social circles. We could not have anything to do with each other.
Yeah.
And he got married, and there are kids, and I know, but I know he's gay.
I
just
one of those
know it.
My high
I just know
too.
It.
Yeah.
And I'm dying to find out.
Has he gone super right wing? Do you know?
I think he is definitely right of center.
Yeah, because the one in
clean
one,
cut J. Crew kind of deal. Yeah.
Same in my high school.
Intolerant parents. Yeah.
Yeah. He like moved to North Carolina, was a science teacher, is now like a evangelical preacher's assistant or something. Has three kids.
Yeah, and
like,
he is sucking dick.
You know what annoys me?
On the side.
No way.
There's just no way.
One thing that drives me crazy about all this is like it's so easily fixable because kids will know whatever you tell them. So all we have to it's so simple just to tell kids. Some people are gay, some people are straight.
No big deal. You'll find out later.
You ready
Boom, done.
Literally you ready for math?
Yes. That's all.
That's it.
One generation, and it is just gone.
All you have to do, I mean, because, you know, I have friends with kids who are being raised in progressive situations that all that is such a simple thing. I mean, all it's like teach them that, and then the color wheel. I don't
it's
know.
It's adding another
kids,
life problem that's
kids don't
unnecessary.
Care.
It's so unnecessary.
It's so unnecessary. It's just it's just like logistical antagonistic thing that hasn't been fixed. And
that
it's like,
ruins people's lives.
Right. It's like getting back to square one is hard for anybody. Like life is hard. Square one for everybody.
Yeah.
But you're just saying with gay people. Okay, you have another thing to get.
Here's
over.
Another
like,
thing to deal with.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Just because we couldn't be bothered to give people this piece of information?
Yeah.
Like we said, it is changing, though. Like, the guys younger than 25 it is.
But the geographic isolation
enough.
Of this country, like, permits pockets that endure generation
but
after generation.
But at least the internet exists, though, so these kids can't.
Yeah, they find
they
out the truth,
out,
and then granny
know?
Just needs to die.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then,
basically.
Exactly. Oh, that's true, because everything is accessible, even in those pockets, like, through the internet.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it's just annoying while it's still happening, though.
Well, it's like it's hard to see the progress taking so long.
Right, because it's like why has there never been a black bachelor?
Yeah, that's fucked up.
Because literally, no, well, yeah. Because
I'm
like,
serious though. It's like true, that's, though. It, that's yeah. There've been what 79 seasons of that show.
Oh well, think about it. I mean, that person is like the apex of masculine, like what we want in a man.
Yeah. Yes.
And mm-hmm. we don't want a black man.
No. They won't even get to Final Four.
No, I don't even. It would have to be. It would be such a statement by the network.
Yeah.
It would have to be like. It would have to.
And that's
thing,
what's so funny is it's like not a statement at all. No. It was just like, just do it and everyone, you'll still have just as many fucking people watching it. No one will give a shit.
I don't know though, because there's so much, this country is so racist.
Mm-hmm.
It's
insane.
so bad. And like, the level between like totally not racist and very aware and like mm-hmm. woke, quote unquote, as they say, and like, you know, the cross burning and the Ku Klux Klan, the ground in between that is like super huge.
Oh, it's
and a lot of people who are really nice, wonderful, compassionate people. Mm-hmm. That's the problem.
There's so many wonderful about it. But I think what people need to realize is that we live in a time where your reality is very much curated.
Exactly.
So and I think that piece of information, you know, I think it's very easy for us woke people to be like, fuck you people, how could you fucking think that? But then it's like, maybe in order to make some progress, we need to be more like, oh, how could they think that? Oh, maybe it's because they're seeing all these really scary things on Facebook and they don't have any access to this information. And like, mm-hmm. I think as much as it sickens us all to even think about having a conversation with like a Donald Trump supporter, we don't even want to talk and think those people exist. They have guns and shit. So, like, I guess we should figure out how to, like, I don't know.
No, talk to them. You have to. No, absolutely. And the thing is, as, like, people who are, as an aware white person who's trying to be more aware, mm-hmm. That's the one thing. And as an effective communicator, that's how I can actually help and, in like, in the process, learn more about it.
Yeah.
Because I talked to some guy in South Florida who said the N-word. And I was in his living room.
Oh my God.
And I was like, all right, so this is an intimate situation where I don't want to like challenge his racism like explicitly.
Yeah.
And I don't remember what I said, but what the gist of what he explained was that I don't say the N-word to mean a black person. I just anybody who's a lazy fuck. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what?
Okay.
Yeah,
So regardless of whether that's the truth, I was like, that's really interesting information.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So like, and so like you're demonizing, so the black person is a mascot for this group of people that you're demonizing, people who are like, who don't pull their weight, who are lazy, mm-hmm. mooch off the system, quote unquote, things which black people and other minorities have been accused of.
Right.
So it's just fascinating to see how like actual that overt racism functions in a human body,
mm-hmm. right?
You know, in real time in front of me.
It's weird to see it in the wild.
Yeah.
Because you hear about it.
Yeah.
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 But in this guy, I don't want to kill this guy, you know?
No, and that's the thing. It's like, right, exactly. It's not like, oh, well, he should be put to death. So it's more like, okay, how can we like realistically start to get these people information?
Yeah, the truth. How do we all come closer to the truth, you know?
It's weird because that is the bad thing about the internet too, is that people are able to find whatever weird version that they want to believe.
To back up also.
Or just a counterpoint. Like, exactly. I mean, the Twitter is like, okay, there's a point where I can't, there's nothing can happen more here.
Exactly.
There's this person that's like, no, racism doesn't exist. That's the great, you know, that's the argument for a lot of racists.
Yes.
You know, and
we're
like,
in a post-racial America. And it's quote,
yeah, because
people
it's not
who argue
anymore.
Against like affirmative action and stuff like that.
Right.
Which is like, well, that's, you know, that's
they're
racist
just lazy.
Towards us.
Yeah. They're just lazy and not able to take, you know, advantage of the American dream.
And we've really lost. And I mean, I wonder if like, is it, I don't know, we've lost. We don't care about whether things are factual anymore.
Uh-uh.
And I'm a big, I love the old school newspapers. Like mm-hmm. I said, I love the New York Times. And people are like, oh, the news media isn't telling you this. And like, I have people that tell me like, oh, the media isn't telling you this. I'm like, actually they are. I read the paper every day and you guys aren't reading
it. Oh, you don't give a shit.
Crazy shit is happening in the world actually. Yeah. And you are being told about it. You're choosing not to read it.
Yeah. Well, then the only thing like on the television that gets paid attention to is what people are watching, and then the advertising. You know, it's like how is that like okay? Like, I mean, you know, with the whole Trump thing, it's just because he's ratings, so that's you see more of him and only him, and not like boring Jewish man who's rallying on about policy,
right?
You know, like so. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, how is that okay?
I think it's not that it's okay. It's that there's nothing we can do about it because it's much more compelling. A train wreck is always much more compelling.
Sure. And totally. And that's it. Yeah. You agree on that. But then it's like, Well, then why? I don't know.
Because we live in a society that is like built around capitalism. Capitalism means you need to make the most money.
It's not working.
Yeah, it's not working.
It's not all the way capitalism. No. It's not the way to go.
No.
All the way capitalism isn't the way to go in like this clickbait economy situation. I mean, because I write for the internet and like I feel like I have a weird behind the curtain view of it. And I've written for like a mainstream like corporate newspaper and I've looked at the traffic reports every day and it's really depressing because what we have to
what does it say?
What happens is like we'll make like a crazy that's something that's really thoughtful and well researched and that actually has an interesting story and it does garbage traffic, but we ran it because we wanted to write something real. Okay. Then we'll write something that's like then we would write something that was like things that you can tell about a guy based on his shoes.
Fluff. And
that would
just
but just bullshit and that would go bonkers. So then we have to have shit that does good traffic to make money, so we would just make more of that. So every day as you the writer, you're coming in and you're like, all right, I guess we'll make more of that.
Yeah.
And so that's just that ultimate human cliche is that people just want shit, not the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
So, I mean, I think that's, I mean, that if I have a message for anyone, it's stop clicking on bullshit.
Yeah.
I'm dead serious.
Oh, the consumer has enormous power. Yeah.
You do. You really do. You really do. And I'll just out this right now, too. The Huffington Post doesn't pay their writers, so please stop giving them traffic. Thank you.
Thank you.
The shade of it all.
I just had my fan. Oh, my God. Damn. Not even Huffington Post gay voices.
None of it. I mean,
especially not the
gay
voices.
You know what's bullshit?
Probably not, no.
Maybe if gay voices, if it's a celebrity, they pay their celebrity writers.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
So there you go.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
She should. She went to the White House correspondent dinner with the fat Jew.
Oh, that sums it all up.
Stunt queen.
She is a stunt queen.
They're both stunt queens. Well, he's the ultimate candy bar clickbait.
I mean, if you're going to Huffington Post for your news, that is
a lot of people go to the Huffington Post for their news.
Yeah.
A lot. And honestly, that's like best case scenario, to be honest.
You're not going for that.
I'm going to go home and figure out a way to block them on my computer.
I mean, but how else are we going to research like crazy news stories for packets we're never going to get jobs for?
I have some. I mean, there's... I can give you some companies.
Okay, great. That was inside baseball. But we're going to be back in a second.
Bye.
Be right back.
Bye. We are back. I'm Tess Barker.
I'm Barbara Gray.
I'm Brandy Posey.
And I'm Katya or Brian or whatever.
Whatever you want to. Okay, you said you love to give advice, right?
I'm writing a self-help book right now.
Oh my God, I am
a person that doesn't know how to do anything, so I figured that's that's perfect.
Oh, that's the same with
that's
us.
Amazing.
Yeah, same. I love that.
I don't know how to cook. I don't know how to take care of myself. Like basic hygiene. I don't know how to do consistent, like really rudimentary self-care things. So I'm like,
So is that the book you're going to be like learning how to do those things?
No, but I'm just going to tell other people what I think is the best way.
You're going to be perfect for this segment.
I think so.
Yeah. That's great.
Fuck yeah. If you have a lady problem, write to us at ladytolady@maximumfun.org.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah. Getting digital.
Lady. Lady problems.
Oh, yeah.
Lady. Lady problems. Lady problems. Do you have them? Lady problems.
You can. You can.
Not just ladies. Everybody does.
Lots of people.
Mm-hmm.
Join our Facebook group. There's a lot of good stuff going on there. Lady to Lady Podcast. People are writing and asking for advice on there, and listeners are talking to each other.
Yeah, like if you have something, because we don't always record exactly right before it's going to get released, etc. So if you have like something you need advice on stat. Maybe hit the Facebook.
Hit the brain.
Call 911.
Yeah.
911.
Yeah, if you're bleeding.
Yeah, hi, ladies. I'm getting robbed right now.
First of all, are you
terrified?
Yeah, exactly. You obviously don't listen to the podcast. So.
Okay, here we go. Hi, ladies. So I'm pretty nervous to even be typing this, so I'll get right into it. I'm a teenage girl who has been watching and jerking off to lesbian porn for a long time now. Probably not where I expected it to go. I know. I would say for how long, but I'd feel embarrassed. Oh, fuck it. I've been watching it since I was probably 12, 13. But even before that, I remember being turned on by women before I even knew what the feeling was. I just remember feeling ashamed, and I still do. Through those experiences, I've come to the realization that I am sexually attracted to mainly only women, but still romantically attracted to men. I couldn't imagine myself being romantic and being in a relationship with a woman like that. I still find men sexually attractive and sometimes fantasize about having sex with men, but it doesn't really excite me as much as having sex with a woman does. But whenever I think about that, I feel guilty and ashamed. No one else knows about this, so naturally I'm writing to you for it to be broadcasted.
Good.
Yeah. My parents have also said on multiple occasions that nothing good ever comes from porn, whatever that's supposed to mean. I feel so embarrassed and ashamed about this whole situation. Since you ladies seem confident in your sexualities, I need some support or validation or just some thoughts on my situation. Is my feeling ashamed from me just trying to get over society, trying to place people in a heteronormative box?
Yes.
Or is there something else going on? Is it possible to only be romantically attracted to one gender and then be sexually attracted to a different one? Thank you, ladies, so much. I'm a big fan. And then she says a bunch of nice things to us.
Aww. Oh, boy.
Well, nothing good comes from porn except cum.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. Come. That's what comes.
Come and come is wonderful. That's and why you watch porn. And sometimes you need a safe place to come.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what porn is. And then I think a lot of bad situations are averted because of porn sometimes.
Well, let's. I mean, she says the word ashamed like 10 times.
So she feels ashamed. So how do we get rid of her shame?
Yeah. So
I mean, yeah, I can personally identify a lot with this. I watched lesbian porn a lot when I was younger. I never acted on it till recently in my life. I'm bisexual, which I've never said on the podcast before. So there you go. I think it is possible to be. Sexuality is fluid. There isn't a black. It's not black and white. You know.
Yeah.
That's a lifelong process of discovery.
Yeah.
Right.
So, well, who's creating the shame, and how do you get rid of that?
That's the thing, because that's at the end of the day,
her parents are creating.
Yeah,
shame.
So they're not helping. Yeah. This is
first and foremost. Yeah, because like what she ends up wanting to sleep with and date, that's going to be a process and a thing and a thing. Mm-hmm. But that's not going to go well until you get rid of the shame.
Shame, yes. Exactly.
That's got to go. Mm-hmm. And so I think if this helps you at all with the shame, like, it's been scientifically proven that almost everyone exists on some kind of a spectrum. Sure. Like there's,
yeah, right. That's what I'm saying is, yeah, it's just true.
Yeah. I mean, you're in the you're in the majority actually. Like
and there's no value though. There's none of those placements have any value.
No,
like none of them. Like hard, straight, just straight versus, they're all the same value.
That's right.
All the shame applies value.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
There's no way you can get to that, like any knowledge of that spectrum with shame.
No, because the spectrum doesn't, that said, it doesn't matter.
No.
Because the thing has a value.
Right. The only thing that matters is if it's kids or non-consensual.
Well, that's, sex that isn't consensual, that is just rape. So don't rape anyone.
Yeah. That's good. Hey, number one to-do list today. Don't rape anyone.
Once everything's consensual, then that's literally the only value you need to make in a sexual situation.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're safe and happy and comfortable and enjoying what you're doing, that is literally all you need to worry about.
But it is very hard. I deal a lot with like shame issues involving sex, you know,
and
because if you feel like you're a little bit outside of the norm, you do that to yourself.
You just
tell yourself you're wrong or tell yourself it's not okay.
And that usually especially with men, I feel like the sexual urges are so, you can't ignore them so that the shadowy behavior will ensues. For example, the hundreds, I don't know if it's hundreds, but of men who are in the closet or not open with their desires about wanting to have sex with a drag queen or a trans woman, married, partnered, whatever. Mm-hmm. If they all knew about each other, it would be amazing. Like, I mean, it would be incredible. But it's the ultimate taboo. They can't talk to their friends about it.
Yeah, and that taboo needs to get fucking, because that is where violence and stuff comes in.
Yeah,
that's when people get hurt.
Yeah, they come, and that urge is gone, and now they just kill that trans woman.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think what this all, this is the same problem as the rape problem, as the, I think, police brutality. I mean, I think almost every problem in the world is related to this idea that gender exists.
Yeah.
Like that you have a box that you have to fit in because it's a story.
Mm-hmm. But it's, you know what, though?
Story.
I feel like the gender identity stuff, like you can't, I think it's a really tall order to ask people just erase or ignore gender identity, because it does work as a function of like categorizing life into kind of a way that makes sense, but it's not like it's too rigid, it doesn't work.
I think we're viewing it in the wrong way as a society though, because I think there are such things as masculine and feminine energies.
Yeah, totally.
And I think we need to be much more realistic about the fact that everyone has both or should have both.
Can have both.
We as a society need both, and everything. My personal view is that it works better when it's in equilibrium, and I think that right now we're kind of tilting towards way too masculine aggro.
Because we're killing everybody in the world. Yeah. And ourselves. Killing and raping. Killing and raping. That's all we're doing.
So it'd be like dope to kick that down a notch.
So
I guess I didn't mean that you don't have a gender identity. I guess I meant gender identity as we view it, the traditional quote-unquote gender.
Yeah.
Like,
and that's different culture, right?
Yeah.
And also time and time. Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh.
I mean, do you guys think, so she's wondering like, well, yeah, obviously the shame thing is the first thing to deal with.
Because she sounds alone too. She sounds alone. Very isolated.
And that's why I wanted to say, like, I honestly identify with this a lot. And maybe you don't ever want to be with a woman, you know, maybe you do only want to be romantically with men. Mm-hmm. I thought growing up that I watched a lot of lesbian porn, I think, because dick scared me or whatever.
Well, it's also just like they're kinder to each other.
Yeah, and it was softer. It was easier to watch. I watched a lot of that growing up, and but it still was only romantically with men, you know?
Yeah.
And then was with a woman and realized that, okay, like I do like this in real life, not just in porn. And maybe that's not what she does only want that, but I don't think you don't have to take it out. You don't have to qualify yourself as like, I'm only romantically interested in women.
Don't worry about that. Yeah. Get the shame.
That's where the shame's coming in.
It feels like the shame is sort of like around this sort of like, how am I, but what box do I fit in?
Sure.
It's like you fit in the box.
Yeah.
I think the most important thing is like, take everything like situation by situation. Like if you want to sleep with someone, whatever, I don't want to sleep with them.
Yeah, it's a person thing, and that's not. And sometimes you won't expect it, but you might meet a woman that you're attracted to that you do want to pursue something with, and that'll be okay. You know, it's not. You don't have to
choose
that.
And if you've like defined yourself completely and rigidly, it's like there's no room for growth. Like life is about growth, and your gender and sexuality can
be
part of that.
The question is, it's like, what if she is not sexually attracted to men at all? And you have to be okay
with... Sounds like she is, though.
She is, though.
Oh, she is?
Yeah.
Yeah, she sometimes fantasizes about having sex with men.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I guess then it's just a person-to-person thing.
Yeah, I think it's a person-to-person thing. I think you're...
A lady-to-lady thing.
Literally a lady-to-lady thing.
You're also a teenager, so you're just like a little like ball of hormones anyway that doesn't know...
Find friends on the internet. Shit.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if she lives, I don't know where she lives, but I was like in starting adolescence at the time of like AOL was like screeching up, you know, like, that was like, I was goth and really weird.
You're goth?
Yeah. And nobody was like, so I found all these, used to like order, you know, German industrial music CDs from like, you know, Berlin and then like, you know, through the mail. And then my whole life was like not in my, you know, suburban town.
Totally.
But that was important.
Yeah,
I couldn't imagine how isolating it would feel.
And like you had like pretty supportive.
Oh, and my parents were amazing. Yeah. Then I was feeling isolated and depressed within a sanctuary at home of like total compassion. So if you have any of the friction from like a normal, I can't imagine. Yeah. Stifling.
Also, you are a teenager, but teenagers are. They're smart, you know. You can talk to a friend, and they are not going to judge you.
Or if
you
know what I mean? Get the curb.
But that's people, you know, don't judge. Mm-hmm. Like I don't judge anybody for what they are into. You know what I mean? I mean, obviously, in some cases where it's like hurting somebody, but nobody's going to judge you. We're all sexual creatures. We're fucking animals. Mm-hmm. We're meant to do that. So if that's what you want to watch, then you're fine.
Yeah. I think that the idea of like a value placement is just something good to continue thinking about. Just let go of that. Yeah. It is what it is.
Yeah.
Everything is what it is.
Yeah. Just get those stupid sex shaming people out of your life.
Yeah.
Or teach them a lesson. You know, if they can't,
I mean, it's hard with parents. You can't
well,
be
I,
parents
you know what though?
Life.
I don't accept that because with my parents, my parents are fucking awesome, but I rebelled stubbornly against being confirmed in the Catholic Church because I was like, this is fucking stupid and you cannot explain to me why it's good.
Good for you.
And then, you know what? Didn't have to do it. And then
I got confirmed and then left Catholicism like a month later.
Yeah, which is what like millions of people do,
that's what mostly
you know,
happens.
Worldwide. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's hard to do that. I'm not good at standing up to my parents.
Yeah, you have to be a stupid little shit. You have to feel like...
Were you scared to tell your parents that?
No, like, I was just annoyed. I didn't want to go to CCD. Right. You know, like I just... You know, like we have to do so much stuff. I want to hang out by myself and like read my books and shit.
Yeah.
I know how I want to spend my time. And yes. that's like, as a kid, you have to go to all that school and then do after school crap. You have no time.
I remember thinking that in high school, just being so, and that's why I dropped out of high school and went to junior college instead, basically, because I was like, I was kind of mature for my age. I started working when I was like 11 and I was like, you people are wasting my time. I'm not doing a word search. Later. Yeah.
And also like you have, kids are all like chronically underslept and dehydrated.
Dehydrated as fuck.
Yeah, you can't have any drinks. No drinks. No drinks in classroom. No, nothing anywhere. I never peed in high school. I never went to the bathroom in high school.
You didn't?
No.
Oh, that was like when we socialized. You'd be like, you would just go grab the bathroom pass and like cruise. Yeah.
I probably drank a half a cup of water every day throughout the whole high. It's terrible.
Yeah, I kind of remember.
I mean, I didn't care about being hydrated as a teenager.
No, nobody does, right?
No, you don't realize it. You don't even realize it.
But if you are drinking awful the time, please hydrate more.
Definitely drink more water. Yes. Definitely drink more water.
Yes. Yeah, we need to be telling kids about the importance of hydration.
No, seriously, drink water. Drink more water.
Send us your parents' address. We're just going to
maybe their parents should drink water. Yeah, maybe their parents are dehydrated. Her parents, and that's why they're sex shaming.
But I do think there is something about, and I don't, you know, depending on the kind of porn, but there is a little bit of problem about watching too much porn, I think. If you have porn addiction or something, that's something to, you know, if it's all the time.
Yeah.
If you, I think it can, you know, show you situations that aren't very real that you can expect.
Any pleasurable activity is going to be compulsive. Mm-hmm. It can get compulsive.
Especially depending on your personality.
Yeah.
And that's something I struggle with just all the time. Is like, I have no interest in quitting things. I just want to keep being able to enjoy them.
Sure.
It's like finding that balance where it's like, if this is getting out of control, then I'll no longer be able to enjoy it because I won't be able to contrast it with the times that I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That middle way is kind of boring. And that's what turns people off because these like spikes of compulsive activity or whatever are so exciting. And then the withdrawal is so like crushing, but being moderate and like just enjoying things in moderation is kind of like this middle
that's
way.
That's what about that your 30s are.
And I think it seems boring, but
well,
then
it's
I
not
think,
boring,
but
I think it's peaceful.
I think it's peaceful. Yeah. And this is like so hippy dippy, but I think it's ultimately about like mindfulness. It's like, it seems boring, but actually if you're paying attention to what you're doing and enjoying, it's not boring because you're actually enjoying it more fully and with much more definition.
And you're not looking to tell the story. Like, you know, it's like you enjoy it, but a lot of these, we get addicted to these like really crazy behaviors because we start to use them to identify ourselves with, you know, and like, you're never going to believe what happened to me, you know,
where
they're just not just feeling it and doing it. Whatever.
Oh, completely. Yes. That's why I decided not to fuck anyone for a while because I was just like, this is where I'm getting my identity from. And I felt like I've been doing it my whole life from men because it was just like, that's what I was into. We talked about it. It was like, I don't have any hobbies. I just was like, dudes were my hobby. And so I was just like, I need a fucking break. I want to just be on my own terms. That's all I'm caring about. I'm not fucking somebody for the story or for the, you know.
How old are you?
33.
Okay.
So,
fucking someone for the story when I was single was a real problem.
Yeah. And it was just, and it's fun. It's like heightening my life and that's drinking and that's fucking, you know, it's like that is, and when you are used to those highs, it is hard to go down to the lows because you want it all the time.
Yeah.
But now at this point, I am just getting more comfortable with the in-between. And that does feel good because I'm able to look inward and not just be numbing with that, whatever the fuck stuff I was doing before.
Yeah.
You know,
I did a Carrie Bradshaw list of like, cause when I turned 30, I fucked like a million people.
A million?
Really?
Yeah. And like sometimes three in a night.
Really?
Yeah. But it was like, part of it was like, it was all in drag. So these guys.
Really?
So I was like, oh no, this is like a sociological study too. And I was like, wait a minute. I'm just like fucking a million people. You know, it was totally safe and everything.
Yeah.
Like, we never use condoms now. But it was, you know, it was just out of hand.
You kind of like, once you start, and that's what I started realizing. I was in a long relationship and I got out of it and I was kind of fucking around a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I started being like, ooh, this isn't for the right reason and I can feel it and I need to figure that out.
Yeah, you don't go to the same restaurant three times in a night. You
know? Exactly. Like,
yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, too much. I mean, like, I wouldn't want to eat like an entire vat of chocolate syrup.
Yeah,
like,
I think sex is like food. Just like that. Just, you know, just the sexual encounter just by itself is just like a meal.
I think there's one what's that movie?
Only one.
Yeah. Like Water for Chocolate.
Uh-huh.
That was about like the relationship between sex and food.
Oh, but I haven't seen it. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. That was incredible. So I know it's a very erotic movie.
It's very sexy. And it is. I mean, they're very similar.
Is it Spanish?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's just about, the parallels between sex and food, basically. But just they're both very sensual. They both need to be they're both essential to live.
Yes. But, and when it's over, it's over.
Yeah.
Like, just, like, you don't, you, like, no lick the back. Glass of the restaurant window, like, you know, after you've had the meal, you just go home.
You know what? Brian, that is really, really, really good advice. I'm serious.
seriously,
y'all need to think about that with your dicks. After you lick your dick, you don't need to keep licking the bowl.
Lick your dick.
Or the dick that you're licking.
You don't want to
lick it and finish it and then go home.
Oh, boy. I have a bad problem with licking the glass.
Yeah, you don't want to text some spaghetti.
No, seriously. Yeah, no, I mean, just, I know it's different for some men and some women, and everybody's different about, like, casual encounters. You know, everybody has different, like, levels of, or not, of emotional involvement, but for, and then, you know, it goes from, like, the very impersonal man to the very, like, clingy woman as, like, cliches. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's sex is sex. Don't make sex any more than it is. Anything more than it is. It's a wonderful, pleasurable activity.
But that's hard because don't we have, we do have that hormone that gets released.
Yeah. Oh, because we need to procreate. Yeah, but right. Yeah. There's so much, you know.
Yeah, and that is what I said. I mean,
But the, don't, is that true, though, that women have the hormone that gets released?
We have a hormone
we do get emotionally connected.
Of course, because it's evolutionarily, like biology-wise, it makes perfect sense for you and the men to, you know, disseminate as much as possible, blah, blah, blah.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, and that is what's so weird about being human is, like, we were definitely cave people.
Of course,
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, but so things change so fast, and we need to, like, I think it's the culture lag of our brains not catching up to technology.
I think so, too. Yeah. I think so, too. All right, you guys.
So wait, did any last words for this girl? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Find out the people who are shaming you and figure out how to not make that happen.
What did she do about her parents?
I mean, it's her parents who are doing
it. How old is she?
She's 16.
She's a teenager.
Yeah, 16. She needs to find solidarity online if she can't find it in her community.
Yeah, I think that's big part of it.
Yeah.
And then just get through these 2 years.
I mean, and know that you're not weird. It's very normal.
No, you're not weird. Please. Yeah.
Your parents are weird.
Yeah,
your parents are
watching some weird porn. I don't know what your parents
are.
Or they're not.
And or it's they're fucking not. Them. That's why they're saying this.
I challenge her to talk to her parents about sex.
Interesting.
Yeah. I never talked to my parents about sex, not because they're bad parents, but just because it was weird.
Yeah.
So be willing to have a weird conversation with your parents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I don't want to say that.
I wouldn't do that.
I would now, but I still feel weird.
I'm terrified because I've never told my parents I'm bi, and now I'm scared that some family members listen to this. So I like.
Good.
So we'll see. Yeah.
Bi visibility is more important than any other kind, I think. They're still the unicorns of the sexual spectrum.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. God. Well, Katya told me I'm a unicorn, so I can, I can go out on top today.
Well, see Katya on motherfucking RuPaul. What's the official title?
All Stars Drag Race.
Yeah, something like that. It's good.
God
it's
damn
good
it.
TV.
This cast, it's so
it's good.
Good
TV, regardless of each of our individual involvement. It's good television.
Yeah, I mean, we've absolutely amazing. Talked about Drag Race all the time on the show. Where, I mean, it's just an amazing, it's an amazing show and an amazing universe. And
yeah, it's cool. Mm-hmm. It's really great.
We love you. And
is there anything you want to plug specifically coming up?
No, just I live in LA now, so I'm happy about that.
Yeah. Are you going to be performing live here?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I don't know. We still travel around all the time, but I'm doing a show with Jackie. Actually, no. Yeah. In October, I'm doing a show with Jackie Beat, who's a great local drag queen, superstar. And that's going to be at some place in October 8th, I think. Yeah.
Awesome. So I'm sure you tweet out your dates and all that stuff.
Bonkers. It's called Bonkers. Yeah. It's fun.
Oh, my God. We're going to be there.
Yeah, we'll be there.
Great.
Plan on it. Without a doubt.
Awesome.
Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Bye, you guys. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Can't get enough of us? Subscribe to our Patreon for exclusive bonus content, access to our first 100 episodes, and more. Go to patreon.com/ladytolady now to sign up. As little as a dollar a month keeps a roof over the glam cave and keeps you laughing, even when your coworkers stare. That's patreon.com/ladytolady.
And don't forget to follow us on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at Lady to Lady Comedy. Join our Facebook group, Lady to Lady Podcasts, to chat with other fans about episodes or even post your own lady problems. Check out our website, ladytoladycomedy.com, for show notes, videos, and merch.
And follow our individual accounts, Babs Gray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker for jokes and info and where you can see us perform live. And if you want to send us snacks, stickers, or a lock of your own hair, I don't know, whatever, our P.O. Box is 412-794 Los Angeles, California, 90041. And please, leave us a review on iTunes, but only if you like us.
We love you.
We love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.